faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. We may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which what? Which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You can be seated. How can you know something that passes knowledge? That we might know those things that pass knowledge. So as I've been studying this, it's so interesting because I believe that God speaks to us. I don't think we reiterate this a lot, but the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So we should, as sheep, know the voice of God. So I've been praying about how to present this and God just does great stuff. This morning, got in the truck to go to work, and Ian went instantly to sleep. We didn't even make it to the interstate, and he was out. And so I'm studying, and I'm listening, and I'm praying, and God starts talking. And when God starts talking, you really need to listen. You ever been around somebody that interrupts you? You ever been talking to somebody and somebody comes up and interrupts you as you're talking to somebody else? How does that feel? What do you say about that person? You say, they're so rude. It's like, I don't know why they think their opinion matters more than who I was talking to. But it's interesting when that happens. You know what we do to God sometimes? We interrupt him. He's trying to talk to us and tell us stuff, but we think we already know. But he tells us that, and I looked this word up today, and he asks us that we would be able, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Shane, when I looked that word up, dwell, it simply meant to be settled. That Christ may be settled in your heart. Sam, would you clear that table off out there and bring it in here? Bring me those. I think there's some cushy little chairs out there. And do we have a lamp in one of these rooms or something? Does anybody got a lamp? We don't have a lamp. Just throw me some furniture out there. Them red chairs will work for us. But I want to show you something about your heart, because each one of us have to make room for God. We say make room for God, and really, as we progress in our walk, there should be more room for God in our lives. And he said that he may dwell, that he may settle. How many people in here sleep better at home in your own bed? Raise your hand. Okay, you can set it right over there is fine. Got anything else? Put one of those red ones over here. Because I want to show you something. When I go to a hotel, I don't sleep very well. Anybody with me? And when Darren takes us on these hikes through the woods and we're out there in the middle of the woods in a tent, I don't sleep very well. And I don't care your air mattress and all your stuff. There's nothing like being at home in your own bed. Would everybody agree with that? And I don't know why it's like this, but anybody here have a favorite chair? Yeah, right? And sometimes when you first bought it, you was like, man, I don't know about this. But then, you know what we call that? Breaking it in. And then you get it to where you like it, and then it's comfortable. That's this word, that Christ may dwell in your heart, is just that. That he can settle in. That he may settle into your heart. To be settled. People move into a new apartment, or they move into a new house, and you're like, hey, how's the move going? And they'll say, we're getting settled. We're trying to get settled. What that means is they're trying to get everything in the house the way they want it. They're trying to arrange it so that it's comfortable for them. So if this is our heart, if this is us, because the truth is, we're all trying to find ways to arrange our life to make it better. Even without Jesus, people are out there trying to make their life better, right? So you see a lot of advertisements, and what they try to do is get you to buy into their scheme, because their scheme will make your life better. And they know that it'll work. You just got to buy in. And it's all about making our life better. So we arrange things in our heart. And sometimes we think we got it, and then we don't have it. For a moment, we'll find peace, or for a moment we'll find comfort, or for a moment we're like, ah, that's good right there. But it's interesting, and what's here, let me tell you what's really interesting, is you can walk through the same house 1,000 times, and then I don't know what our brain does, but have you ever stubbed your toe on your couch? When Tracy does it, I say, hey, there's a couch there. And it's been there, right? And you know it's there, but for that moment, it was arranged in a way that caused you pain. You thought you had your life figured out. You thought you had everything arranged the way it was supposed to be. And just when you think you got it, man, here comes a storm, and the storm messes everything up. Well, he says, here's the deal. You got to let Christ dwell in your heart. Man, I hope you're following me. I'm going to invite him into my heart. Now, let me tell you something about God. When he gets in your heart, God is a designer. This is why, Dustin, atheism and evolution drive me crazy. To say that life came from non-life and things came from non-things and all that. Where there is a creation, there is a creator. Where there is a design, there is a designer. Maybe, Jeremy, you've seen this a time or two, but working in people's houses over the years, they hire an interior designer. And what I love doing is watching the designer who has a degree in design, and then some old hillbilly that his wife hired the designer. And this, I love this statement. Honey, get whatever you want. And the designer says, well, this, he goes, I accept that. And I'm like, who are you? Let them. I had a guy come in one time, and he looks at me, and he said, hey, buddy. He said, let me ask you a question. What do you think about this carpet here, and what do you think about this towel here? And I just stood there, and I said, are you married? He said, yeah. I said, okay. He went, I'm wasting my time, ain't I? I said, yeah, go get her. I don't know what you're doing. He said, I'll be back. There's a designer. And let me tell you what, your heart was created by him. So let me tell you what Jesus knows. He knows exactly how this needs to be arranged. He knows exactly what element needs to go in what place, because he was your creator. And being your creator, I don't care how hard you try or how close you get it, you'll never get it the way Jesus designed it to be without submitting to Jesus. So he comes in, and man, I've seen some of these designers, they were headstrong. It didn't matter what the client said. I mean, they would look at him and say, no, that's stupid. That'd look like junk. I'm like, man, they're paying your bill. Didn't matter. They knew what was right and what didn't go together, and this clashed with this. They knew it, and they were so headstrong. When they got done, it looked right. Let me tell you something about God. He is the most headstrong designer you will ever meet. Why? Because he does know what goes best. God is working all things for good, and we've got to understand that we've got to trust his design. So if there's things in your life that he tells you to move, you need to move them. So here's what happens, though. We get comfortable. And then he comes in. We're saved now, and we're walking according to the plan of God. And he comes in, and he says, oh, you're going to have to get rid of that. That has to go. That's not in my plan. But I'm so comfortable here. Let me tell you what. He didn't say he would make you. He didn't say he'd make you comfortable. Amen. As a matter of fact, some of my worst trials happened after I got saved. But when he says move it, you know what you got to do? You got to move it. So he says, get it out of the house, all the way out of the house, all the way out the door. Now that it's gone, you know what happens to you? You feel a little out of place. I don't know how you felt when you first got saved. I know how I felt. You know how I felt when I first got saved? I didn't know what in the world happened. I knew that something dealt with me. I went to the altar and repented. And people say, oh, I was ready to stand on the mountaintop and proclaim it. I was ready to say, what? I'm trying to figure out what happened. Anybody else like me, or was everybody grabbing a megaphone? I went to the altar and I left and I said, man, it was like a whirlwind. And then I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And there was things that I were, oh, this is great. This just in. Here's what people do. People start telling you what you need to move and what you need to get out and the way you need to do this and the way you need to do that. The problem is with people, even if their intentions are right, they don't know exactly how it needs to go. Not everybody gets saved the same way. I remember I first got saved, I had so many people tell me all this stuff. They said, you need to learn about this, and you need to learn about that, and you need to learn about the Godhead. And they said, you need to go talk to so-and-so about this, and you need to go talk to so-and-so about that, and you need to figure out who Jesus is, and so-and-so can tell you. I had so many people telling me so many different things. I got this idea. I said, if I really want to understand the Godhead, why don't I talk to the Godhead? Let me say that again. If you want to know who Jesus is, you know who's a real good one to talk to? Jesus. So what is my job as a pastor? To feed you, to give you strength, to get in a relationship with Jesus so that he can arrange your life exactly the way he designed it to be, and you're in relationship with him. Because here's the problem. There's things in your life that he still wants to arrange. Anybody in here perfect yet? And you know what's crazy about it? Sometimes you get things out of your life, and guess what happens? Go get it. Yeah, the devil shows up. Now let me show you how this works. Man, if this ain't so real. No, I just heard a good sermon Wednesday. I'm going to leave you alone today. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Hold on. He can't get in. He can't get in unless you let him in. But you know what you do sometimes? You say, well, I need a little time off for bad behavior. Me and the devil's been asleep for far too long. That's a country song, by the way. And you know what we do? Let me tell you what happens when we let him back in. He's not settled. The job, the goal is to get him settled in your heart. And people think just because Jesus came into their heart that he's perfectly fine living there, but there is an environment that he prefers. Amen. That's good. Let me say it like this. If Jesus is in my heart, should I be watching and listening to things that are contrary to his nature and the things that he prefers? Or should I be adjusting my heart to fit what he needs? Oh, man, I feel preachy now. If it don't glorify God, it's not doing me any good. Let me say that again. I like that. If it's not lifting him up and getting me closer to him, I'm telling you what its purpose is, to arrange things to bring me pain and heartache, and he's coming to bring me joy and peace. I don't know about you, but music affects me. I worked at Kmart when I was a teenager. And they played the same songs over and over and over and over. It's you for me and me for you. No, it's me for you and you for me. No matter how they toss the dice, it's meant to be. The only one for me is you. And so, quit singing that, you sinners. When I hear that song, I don't think about anything but Kmart. Every time I've ever heard it, I don't think about anything but that place and the eatery. They had an eatery. And they made us wear ties to carry out trash in. It was the goofiest thing ever. We had to wear dress shoes and ties, and we carried out trash from the eatery. Listening to me for you and you for me, no matter how they tell us it's meant to be. I'm telling you, every time I hear that song, my mind goes, anybody know what I'm talking about? It affects my thought process. I can hear certain songs and they make me drive faster. Anybody? It's amazing how what we listen to or what we consume affects the way we feel. So we got to be careful what we are consuming, because he's got to go. You're the bad guy. You're the good guy. Come here, Ian. With his salmon shirt. I quit. His goal is to get this just right because it's better for you. You know why? Because he loves you. And he wants to be settled in your heart. So if he says get rid of that, then you know what you need to do? You need to get rid of it. So get rid of it again and send him with it. So glad you came back. Now you got a plan for him. And it's the best plan. Let me tell you something about truth. The truth is the best plan for your life. Now you think you know where that chair needs to be. Let me say it better. You think you know where your emotions need to be. You think you know the desires of your heart, and you know where they should be. But he said, if you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's not a Bentley. That's not a 40-room mansion high on a hill. That's not what he's talking about. Well, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Well, Pastor, I've been praying for that boy to marry me. He's a hunk. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about he changes the desires of your heart. He gives you the desires of your heart. Now, what that means is the way he wants it becomes the way you want it. Are you following me? You're not fighting against him. Let's be honest. When we first got saved, there was a battle. He would say, don't do that. And you'd say, ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm going to tell you, I better leave that alone. That's meddling. It's meddling. Well, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nothing wrong with that country music. They don't even cuss much. Let me tell you what it all does. It worships the creature more than the creator. Every bit of it. He said, listen, if you are convicted right now, you ought to be. Conviction's good for you. You know why? Because it's going to arrange some stuff. Man, I love the way Pastor White said it. I don't get it anyway. People get out, thousands of them gather up in a field, listen to a guy singing about losing his wife and his dog dying and his truck breaking down. And they're like, whoa! What are you wooing about, man? It's just bad. I read the other day, these vehicles that drive themselves, there's going to be a country song about a vehicle leaving them on its own. Because you know what it does? Am I telling you right? Somebody was playing some of that music not long ago, and I said, man, that is so depressing. It's like, what are we doing? I can go the other way too. If it's not glorifying Jesus, it's trying to mess you up. Am I right? You know how I know? Because I've tried it. I understand there's some things that are neutral. I get that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see any problem at all. Me and Tracy dancing in the kitchen to "When a Man Loves a Woman." I don't see anything wrong with that. But it's bringing me closer to my wife. But if we're not careful, these things will arrange our life in a way that brings us to a place that He did not design us to be. You are the most unrelentless spirit I've ever met in my life. The devil's ashamed of you. He kicked you out one time, you sat down and gave up. That ain't how this works. Now watch what happens. When y'all work together, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and..." Not him. Not that guy. He said, if you let Him come in, He said, He will sup with you. But then He said, "He with me." Y'all can sit down now. We're almost there. We're almost at the end of the sermon. You got to rest. So what happens is He's becoming settled in your heart. What? Somebody give me something that makes you uncomfortable. Frogs. Did you say frogs? Let me see how I can work this in. Okay, so if I use something else, thanks. Somebody else. Because I'm like, if somebody invites you to the frog races, do they even have frog races? Frog gigging. Give me something. Okay, what is it? Small spaces. Small spaces. Anybody else? Anybody else in here? What is it? Oh. Does a confrontation, does that make people uncomfortable? Doug? Doug's like, they're fighting, let's go. Confrontation. You know what, we was at the prison one time, and these two guys, after church was over, Pastor White's sitting there, and man, I mean, it was on. This dude drills, I mean, it's, bam, pops this guy right in the face, and I mean, it popped. And we're standing right there. And, I mean, there they go, they're going at it. I mean, it's hard hitting, too. And Pastor White's just standing there, I'm just standing there. They come in, and they get them separated and all that. And after they finally got him out of there, he said, "That made my knees weak." So let me ask you this. If you don't like confrontation, do you want to be around people that are like that? If you're around people that argue all the time, is that where you want to be? I mean, if they're frog gigging, do you want to go frog gigging? If they're cleaning out their closet, do you really want to go help them clean out their closet if you don't? No. You know what? You don't want to be around those places. Why? Because that's not. Now, when he comes in, it is our duty. It is our divine will to make Him at home in our heart. That means we don't put things in there that's going to make Him uncomfortable. Let me preach to you this. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. We can grieve the Spirit. But okay, I think I'm done with y'all, maybe. Y'all can still sit there if you like it. Watch this, he says. grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart. It's the Spirit that gives you the strength for him to dwell in your heart. Why? Because you cannot do this through your flesh. See, some people, Jason, try to arrange the heart so that he will come in. You know what I'm talking about? Well, as soon as I get good enough, I'm going to get saved. As soon as I get all this stuff cleaned up, I'm going to get saved. I promise you, I don't care. You're never going to get this right enough for him to come in. He comes in and he makes it right enough. How does he do that? Through the Spirit. Your flesh will always war against what the Spirit wants to do. Can you say amen? It will always fight against it. Why? Because your flesh has a desire. Your emotions have a will. But it's not about your will. It's about his will, because his will work out better for you. I promise you, it doesn't get better than what Jesus can do. So you know what amazes me? We read things in the Word of God. We do the direct opposite of what the Word of God says. And then we wonder why we're in the predicament we're in. It's tough to know people sometimes. Know what they do. Know where they've been. And then they wonder why their life's falling apart. And they come and ask you, "Preacher, I don't know what's wrong." I kind of do. You're doing things that he asked you not to do. And let's be honest with ourselves. Brother Eddie, it seems like those things become more and more acceptable in Christianity as time progresses. The reason it does is because somebody told you how Jesus wanted you to do your life, and not Jesus told you how he wanted you to do your life. Am I right? I'm going to use this illustration one more time. I'll let you go. We had free on Sunday. We don't have free on today. We'll hope to have free on Sunday again. Hang in there. Lydia, I can't set the standard for your life. I know pastors that try to set the standard for every person in their church. And then once they meet this minimum goal, they're accepted. But if I set the standard for your life, Eric, what if I set it below where Jesus wanted it to be, and you're comfortable because I told you you were okay and you're not okay? So you know what I do? I trust Jesus. So you know what I preach? I preach Jesus. You know why I preach Jesus? Because if you get in a relationship with Jesus, I'm not going to say it. He can change anybody, can't he? When you get in a relationship with Jesus, I don't have to tell you to pray every day. You're in relationship with him, and he's working in your heart. He's working in those places where nobody can see, but he's working. Here's my answer. I used you when you was in Africa. This guy's my pal. He's my friend. Got me into bow hunting. We was having a good time. Had a lease, took me out there. Then he said, "I'm going to Africa." I said, "You jerk." I would never have set that standard for him. I would have never told him, "Darren, you need to sell everything you own and go to Africa for 5 years." I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because he's my buddy. I'm not, you got to have a relationship with God. When Jesus is moving around the things in your heart and you're listening to him, he's going to get it just right. Why are you telling us this? Because we need to get our relationship right and make our heart conducive and make it where he can move in and make it where he can fit in and make him comfortable there, because he's not going to show up where he's not comfortable. God will not dwell in an unclean vessel. Preacher, I'm telling you, it was rated R, but Really? As long as the preacher don't find out you're good, right? What about the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Our world's in a mess. You know why? Because we're not listening to Him. But man, if we listen to Him, anybody convicted yet? Anybody mad yet? Anybody want to get saved? I promise you, He knows what's best. I promise you. You young people, look around. You young people, you better get in a relationship with Jesus and pray about who you marry. I didn't get enough amens from you older people. Oh, she's so perfect. I'm not talking about Skylar right now. I'm just talking about, this is hypothetical. She's the one and only. She's so perfect. She's so perfect. When you said I do, you did. I married Tracy, and 3 months later, she got pregnant. I didn't know who she was for 3 years. Man, all this priest, post, all these words. But you know what I did know? I know God told me to marry her. And here we are, how long later? 27 years? 28 this year? We were young when we got married, wasn't we, Eddie? Yeah. Statistically, they say marriages that young fall apart within the first 3 years. We're not a statistic. Has there been some furniture problems? Yeah. Repaired sheetrock? Yeah. Don't y'all look at me. You guys look at me like, oh, Pastor. But when God's arranging it, and He's moving it around, man, let Him take care of it. If He says get rid of it, get rid of it. If He says add this in, add it in. If He says do more of this, do more of that. If He says do less of this, do less of that. What's He telling you? What's He telling you? I tell you how to find out. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. You know what He's telling me lately? Shut up. Because sometimes I want to be quiet. I mean, I don't want to be quiet. Well, I'll tell you. Shh. See that bag on the counter? Put it over your mouth. You don't always have to say what's on your heart. Well, I'll tell you right now, preacher, if it's on my mind, it's on my lips. It don't have to be that way. You can hold it in. You will not explode or implode, whatever happens to you. Why? He knows what's best for you. Come on, Aaron. Where you at? Is he here? Come on, Josh. The sermon ain't over. It's just so hot in here. I gotta go. I'm kidding. He ain't gonna steer you wrong. He's trying to lead you beside still waters. He's got the plan. He's got the plan. You gotta make it as comfortable as you can, because you can make it uncomfortable for Him. You say, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You are the temple of God. Let me say that again. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He dwells in you. What? Where have you been taking Him? You know what really gets me about it? You don't even have to say it. He knows what you're thinking. Right? But the devil knocks and he tries to drop a thought off. You don't have to bring it in. You say, you know what? I don't have to think about that. Am I making sense? He said, resist the, and He will. Man, I heard a guy preaching that one time on the radio, and he said, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee, and we've resisted him and he flung. So that's my kind of guy right there. The devil flung. Resist him. He's going to try to bring it in. Resist him. Because I promise you this, it's coming in to separate you. It's coming in to divide you. When he knocks on your door, just say, I'm sorry, I'm not buying. I'm not for sale. I've already been bought. We can cultivate a relationship with Jesus. And you know how you do that? He says, hey, bring it in, bring it in. He said, hey, worship me. I'm looking for somebody to worship me. You know what happens when you worship him? You get closer to him. He says, study, show thyself approved. You know what happens when you read the Bible? You get closer to him. Men ought to pray and not faint. You know what happens when you pray? You get closer to him. It's rearranging your life to fit him, knowing this, his plan is perfect. What are we singing? Let's do it. Y'all want to stand up or sit down? Whatever y'all want to do, we're going to sing a song. David said, examine me, O God. Examine me. See if there's anything offensive in me, any wicked thing. He says, there's something in me that needs to be moved out. God, I want you to examine my room. I want you to examine. What needs rearranged, God? You guide me. So right now, would you look inward? And would you just pray for yourself right now and say, God, show me. If there's something, Lord, between, if there's something out of place, God, would you show me and give me strength through the Spirit to remove it? God, if there's something missing, would you reveal it to me, Lord, and give me strength through the Spirit to add it in? Because, God, I know you're the designer here. I know your design is perfect. Examine me, O God. Search me.